the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Simon Harris over the weekend said that he wants targeted grants, accessible financing and continued investment in infrastructure, from refitting homes to expanding renewable energy and improving our electricity grid. He mentioned multiple ways of upgrading home heating systems, such as hybrid heat pumps and lower emission fuels like HVO where appropriate. But he's talking about additional financial one-off incentives. We have two guests with us. I'm going to start with Miriam Lynch, Senior Research Officer at the SRI, who had a report only last month about all of these type of things for residential decarbonisation goals. Miriam, do we not have a system of grants and incentives like that at present?
Yeah, we do. We've had a series of grants, different programmes run by the SAAI for a number of years. And then we have the more recent program, which is called a one-stop shop. So we've had kind of grants for individual measures for a long time. And then we've had this one-stop shop where you kind of get everything done at once more recently. However, something like a heat pump grant on its own, you typically wouldn't do a heat pump standalone. So this might be a kind of a new grant looking at kind of a standalone one-off for a heat pump, as opposed to doing it as part of a deep retrofit by one of those one-stop shops or something like that.
And what about efficient cars? Are there any grants towards electric cars?
Yes, there are grants. There were grants kind of for new electric cars, and there also have been grants for chargers, so kind of to get a charger at home and that kind of thing. But that grant was at €5,000 in the past. It was reduced. Perhaps they're looking at kind of changing it or increasing it or something like that.
Okay. Philip Hannon's with us as well, Chief Executive of the Alliance for Zero Carbon Heating. Sorry, what is that, Philip? What is the Alliance for Zero Carbon Heating?
Thanks, Matt. The Alliance for Zero Carbon Heating is three trade associations involved in home heating, the suppliers, the distributors and the equipment manufacturers. And they've come together in the whole area of home heating and to promote the use of renewable liquid fuels such as HVO.
Okay, so what do you make of what Simon Harris was saying over the weekend?
Well, I think it's very interesting, and we welcome it very much, because I think there has been an approach until now to decarbonisation of home heating is fixed on a one-size-fits-all approach, mostly heat pumps and deep retrofitting. Now, they're excellent technologies, but they're quite expensive and they're not suitable to everyone. And I know Mirren there has demonstrated that, you know, there's some resistance and they're still quite expensive. But the significance of the tonnage I'm mentioning about HVO is that you can, our companies can provide a blend of up to 20% of low carbon liquid fuel into existing kerosene boilers, and people don't have to upgrade their boilers. So, you know, they can add this without the expense of heat pumps and reduce their carbon emissions. The government has a mechanism to increase this, called the Renewable Heat Obligation Scheme. And there was some coverage over the weekend that the EU has said that aspects of it to do with gas need to be looked at again. But we're saying this is an opportunity now for the government to look separately at liquid fuels and introduce a separate obligation scheme for liquid fuels by combining it with transport.
Okay, I want to come back to the heat pumps though, because lots of listeners getting in touch already to 0874 100 102. I'd love a heat pump in my old house, but the cost to make it airtight, enough insulation, windows and new radiators is a crippling cost. So is that the case, Philip? What houses are heat pumps suitable for? Are they in reality only suitable for new builds or for recent builds?
Well, building regulations at the moment, heat pumps are going into all new builds. So, I mean, that's just the way it is now, building regulations. But, you know, concerning existing homes, they're suitable for some homes. But you must remember that there are 700,000 older homes in Ireland using kerosene boilers, basically oil boilers. And yes, you can put in a heat pump there, but you've got to essentially, you know, rip out the inside of the house if you want the heat pump to work efficiently. And even though there are grants, it's a considerable outlay. So you can, as an alternative to this, you can use HVO and blend it with existing kerosene, and you don't have to get rid of your boiler. So it's a no-brainer, I think, as far as we're concerned.
Okay, Muireann Lynch, I want to go back to you. When you've been doing your research, what sort of resistance have you seen from people to installing heat pumps? Are they finding that their houses simply are suited to putting in the heat pumps, or is it that they're just too expensive?
So we did a review on residential heat decarbonisation in general, as you mentioned. It was released last month. And we kind of categorised the barriers into three categories. So there's the financial barriers, there's the behavioural barriers, and there's the technical barriers. Now, the financial barriers are, you know, everybody understands those. These things are very, very expensive. You do make your money back, but it takes a long time, and it's a very high upfront cost that not everybody has. And while there is financing available, there's low-cost loans available, the uptake of them has been relatively poor. However, even leaving costs aside, the other barriers that we think are maybe overlooked are these behavioural barriers and the technical barriers. So the behavioural barriers are just the things like, there's a lot of hassle involved in doing something like a deep energy retrofit. And as your text, those people texting in said, you can stick a heat pump straight into a house without retrofitting it, but it's much better to do the retrofit to get it airtight so that it'll have lower running costs and that kind of thing. So even apart from the financial costs, the hassle factor associated with that, the hassle associated with applying for the grants, the idea of having to get in builders and that kind of thing, that seems to be a significant barrier for people. And then on the technical side, what we're finding is that BER is just kind of like an indicator. It's not a perfect indicator of the energy usage of a home. And increasingly, we're finding that some people, when they install a heat pump, they're maybe not getting the savings they anticipated. And that's really because we're not collecting enough data in the field after the fact to see, once the heat pump is installed, how is it actually performing? So that's kind of a big gap in the literature. So those would be the main areas that we highlighted. And some of the ways of getting over those barriers, like Philip highlighted there, would be things like switching to a lower carbon fuel that maybe doesn't involve as much upfront cost and as much upfront hassle, if you like, or disruption. And that would be where things like HVO and lower carbon fuels come in.
Okay, back to you, Philip Hannan. Some people are expressing a bit of doubt about HVO. One saying it's on average 10 centilitre more expensive than diesel. Kerosene costs as much or more than diesel at the moment. Where is the financial incentive to move to a HVO heater?
Well, look, HVO is a little more expensive than kerosene. That's true. And, you know, there's been great volatility with prices at the moment. So it's hard to say exactly where they're at. I think it balances it out. And it also allows people, for quite small increase in cost, to greatly decrease their carbon emissions. And remember, they could do this without the huge outlay there has to be. I mean, I think looking at SAI figures, the average cost of getting in the heat pump and the deep retrofitting is about 60,000. And I think even with the grants, you're still going to have to come up with 40,000. Very few people get this entirely free. So it's really the upfront costs is the big saving. And then the slightly extra cost for the HVO isn't substantial, really.
Okay, Muireann Lynch, what about electric cars? There's been something of an uptick in the purchase of electric vehicles in recent times, in recent months particularly, with what's been happening in the Gulf. Do you think, though, to really accelerate the purchase of electric vehicles, that further grants will have to be made available? Or is that something, again, which is often a criticism of many government policies, merely something that will help the better off?
I mean, grants particularly for new vehicles certainly help the better off. I think the idea behind them was to try to get sufficient new purchases of electric cars in order to have them get into the second-hand market down the line. Now, we're seeing that now. We are seeing more electric cars in the second-hand market, and they're kind of comparable, if not cheaper, than their diesel equivalents. And considering that the running costs of an electric car are substantially lower than the running cost of a petrol or a diesel car, then in that case, the economics do stack up. There are some concerns over things like the resale value, do they hold their value and that kind of thing. But, you know, what goes around comes around. If they don't hold their value, then that means you can get them cheaper on the second-hand market, which is what we're seeing. And I think as well, we just need to kind of accept that the only thing we know about fuel prices is that they're going to stay unpredictable. I'd say they'll probably stay high, but they certainly won't be in any way stable or predictable. Electricity prices are a lot more stable, and they're also just way lower for running your car. So if you were thinking of getting a new car, it might be worth considering the electric car as opposed to getting another petrol or diesel car.
Thank you very much, Muireann Lynch from the ESRI. Philip Hannan from the Alliance for Zero Carbon Heating.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.